is Playhouse 90. From the stages and studios, producers and playwrights of the world, the makers of Andrew's Sparkling Health Salts, Milk of Magnesia, and Insto Eye Drops bring you the week's finest radio entertainment, Playhouse 90. This week, Playhouse 90 presents The Cassius Touch. One man is at the center of a web of power and destruction. One man, John Cassius. About him are ensnared his unwitting victims, his family, his business associates and acquaintances. All of them come under his influence, by circumstance, by design, by accident. And all of them are warped by his malignant, scheming power. John Cassius holds the reins, but he holds them too tightly. Sooner or later, someone is going to resent the touch of John Cassius. Listen in a few moments to The Cassius Touch, produced for Playhouse 90 by the author Beverly Pierce. Playhouse 90 presents The Cassius Touch.
Are you you coming up to bed, John?
No, not yet. Still a mountain of work to get through. You go on up, darling.
Oh, you won't be late, will you?
We'll see how it goes. If necessary, I'll use the other bedroom.
Oh. Well, all right. Good night, darling.
Good night, darling.
Try not to make it too late, won't you?
Good night.
Oh.
Let's see now. A drink first, I think, yes. I'm relying on you rather a lot, aren't I? Well, not that much. Now then, Peterson contract renewal. Yes, that's got to be ready for the board tomorrow. That blasted door. Got to get that cat seen to. What?
Let us recap, shall we, Mrs. Cassius? You left your husband a little after 10:30 last night.
Yes, that's right, Inspector. I asked him not to stay up too late.
Approximately how long was it from the time you left the room until you heard the shot?
A few minutes, no more than that. I went straight up to my bedroom. And I was in the bathroom when I heard them.
Yeah. You saw nobody about the house?
No. The servants had gone to bed earlier in the evening. The only person up at the time was Mr. Richards, my husband's secretary.
How do you know he was up?
Well, he was in the office. It's on the same floor as the bedrooms. I heard the duplicating machine when I went upstairs.
How long had you been married to Mr. Cassius?
4 years.
You were his second wife?
Yes.
Yes, but I think that's about all for you for the moment, Mrs. Cassius. I wonder if you'd ask Mr. Richards to come in.
Oh, yes, yes, certainly, Inspector.
Well, Scotty, get all that down.
Yes, sir, all of it. Nice homecoming for Cassius, wasn't it, eh? Row with his managing director, fight with his son, and 3 bullets.
Yeah, he'd been away 2 months, yet his return seemed rather abrupt. Nobody expected him. Odd.
He seems to have been rather odd all round, sir.
What was your opinion of Mrs. Cassius?
Younger than I'd expected, sir. But then, of course, she was his second wife.
Yeah, Mr. Richards, please come in. Sure. I'm Inspector Vernon. This is Sergeant Scott. Sit down, won't you?
Thank you. How do you do?
You do, sir.
What can I do to help you, Inspector?
Well, let's find out, shall we? Where were you when Mr. Cassius was shot?
Upstairs in the office. Mr. Cassius has given me some duplicating to do, you see. And I was doing just that.
Just sign these as witnesses, Richards. Good. Does it? I'll take them upstairs and get them duplicated. I need them for tomorrow.
Certainly, sir. How many copies?
I don't know. 6, isn't it? For heaven's sake, you're the secretary.
I'm sorry, sir.
We'll get a move on. I'd like to have them before tomorrow morning, if it's all the same to you. If that's humanly possible, I mean.
That's what I was doing, Inspector. Duplicating.
I see. The machine you use, automatic model?
Oh, yes, fully automatic.
Capable of running on its own without anyone to watch over it?
Yes, I suppose so. Never really thought of it.
Do you know if Mr. Cassius kept a gun?
Indeed he did. Corsair .38, American Police Special.
Know where it is?
In that desk, Inspector. Here, I have the keys. That's odd. It's not locked. And the gun. It isn't here.
Where did you last see it?
Oh, prior to our leaving for America on this last trip, Mr. Cassius was cleaning it himself. He always did.
Interesting. Did anyone in particular have a grudge against the man, to the extent of wanting him killed?
Well, there were men whom he ruined financially. I should imagine any one of them would have been quite happy to see him dead.
Could you supply us with the names of such men?
I believe so, yes.
Fine. Please do that, Mr. Richards, as soon as you can. That's all for now, I think. Ask young Mr. Cassius to come in now, will you?
Yes, of course.
If there's anything else I can do, Inspector, please don't hesitate to ask him.
I won't, Mr. Richards. I certainly won't.
Oh, good day.
Inspector, there's something about that gentleman. Something that doesn't ring true.
And what in particular?
Something false, sir. Nothing I can put my finger on, though.
A hunch, Scott, here?
No.
Extraordinarily enough, I think I'd be tempted to agree with you. Mr. Richards is withholding something, and I'm rather sure it's something we should know about.
Good morning. Inspector Vernon.
That's right. Please come in, Mr. Cassius.
You don't mind my bringing Miss Wiley in, do you? She was with me last night.
Not at all. How do you do, Miss Wiley? This is Sergeant Scott.
How do you do?
You do, miss.
Please sit down. Just a few routine questions. You left here at 10:30 or thereabouts, didn't you?
About then, yes.
You didn't know your father would be here?
Hadn't any idea. I'd been out all day, sir. I wasn't in when his cable arrived. But as soon as I opened the front door last night, I knew he was here. There's no mistaking those trumpet-like tones of his. Joss and I had been out to see some... Yeah, I thought I recognized the dulcet voice. Welcome. Welcome home, Father.
My, what a cool reception. How are you, Davy boy?
Oh, Davy boy is just fine, just fine. Oh, allow me to introduce. This is Jocelyn Wiley, my father, John Cassius, everybody please bow. My stepmother, Marcia, and my father's managing director, Mr. McCorber.
How do you do?
Pleased to meet you.
This is the latest addition to the fold, Davy boy?
This is the addition to the fold.
Oh, she's decorative. But then most of them have been, haven't they?
Oh, all of them, Father, all of them.
Well, welcome to the Cassius clan, Miss Wiley.
Thank you. Mr. McCorber, haven't you met before?
I hardly think so, Miss Wiley. I'm sure I would recall having met you.
Thank you. And there is something familiar.
You've probably been reading too much Charles Dickens.
Yes, that's what I have. Yours isn't a particularly common name, that must be.
Oh, now, Father, what brings you home so suddenly? Must be something terribly important.
Now, now, Davy boy.
What is it? 2 months? 3?
Now, now, gently, boys. Let's all have a lovely evening.
You've heard of my father, haven't you, Joss? The legendary magnate, the genius of the stock market, the carver of empires.
Oh, yes, I've heard of him. As a matter of fact, Mr. Cassius, my father is about to give you some competition.
Your father? What kind of competition?
Home appliances. We've just entered the market.
Wiley! Of course. Oh, Carson and Wiley.
Well, what's so amusing, Father? Let's all laugh.
Oh, nothing, Davy boy. Just business.
So? Why shouldn't I know about it?
You? About business? Now, Davy boy, you stick to your cars and your debs and your nightclubs. I'll take care of the business.
Oh, such touching faith. Such confidence. I hope I won't let you down, Father, with my cars and my debs and my nightclubs.
No one is on that score. After all, you've had a lot of experience in those fields. Not to mention the models. Oh, they do call them models these days, don't they?
It must be Monday. Dirty washing being brought out.
Yes, well, I think it's about time I was getting along. Plenty of work to catch up on.
Oh, Miles, sure you're not going.
Afraid so. We old timers need the sleep.
Oh.
Well, good night, everybody.
Miles, you won't forget that little chore in the morning, will you, old man?
No, John. I shan't forget. No matter how I feel about it, you're the boss. Good night.
Well, that was unlike Miles, wasn't it? It was so ominous.
Not ominous, darling. Just saluting the flag.
Saluting the flag? What?
Oh, I told him to handle a couple of matters for me, and he wasn't too happy about it.
I don't follow.
Well, not in quite as many words. I intimated that he was not entirely indispensable.
John. John, you wouldn't fire him, would you?
If necessary. As I told Miles, I'd fire anybody, but only if necessary.
And on that happy little note, dear Joss, I think we should wander off into the night.
All right, David. It's getting rather late.
I'm so glad we met at last, Jocelyn. Please come out again.
I'd like to, thank you. Good night, Mr. Cassius.
Good night, Miss Wiley. Oh, please give my regards to your father, won't you?
Thank you. I will.
Good night, Marcia. Father.
Yeah. Why the heel clicking, military type farewell?
Just saluting the flag, Father. I'd hate to think that I might be dispensable.
I see. So when you left, your father and stepmother were alone.
Yes, they were.
And then you took Miss Wiley home.
That's right. She lives in the city.
You went straight home, no stopping off anywhere?
No, nothing like that.
Well, not quite, David. We stopped outside, remember? When you came back.
You came back here, Mr. Cassius?
Well, no, not really. I was going to, but... Well, I didn't actually get here.
Perhaps you could explain that a little more clearly.
Well, you see, I was coming back to collect some liquor. I thought we... I thought Joss might like a nightcap. You know, something like that when I took her home.
But you say you didn't come back. What changed your mind?
Well, I just remembered that I had some in the car, that's all. I just started down the drive, but... Well, I didn't come right back to the house.
Yeah. Tell me, how long did it take you from the time you left the car to the time you returned?
I don't know. A couple of minutes. Five at the most. Why?
Because it was no more than 10 minutes after you left that your father was shot.
You think I killed him?
I didn't say that. But you may have noticed someone in the grounds.
I didn't.
Pity. Miss Wiley, how well did your father know Mr. Cassius?
Well, that's the strange part. As David told you, Mr. Cassius specifically asked me to give his regards to my father, but when I did so, Daddy was most surprised. He said they'd never met.
How odd. I wonder why you should have done that.
I told you, Inspector. My father had a peculiar sense of humor, if you'll pardon the phrase.
Yes. How long have you two known one another?
Oh, just over 3 weeks. We'd only been out a few times.
And Cassius was away for the past 2 months. He couldn't even have known that you were seeing one another. Mr. McCorbett arrived yet?
Yes, he came in while we were waiting for you.
Ask him to come in for a moment, will you?
You finished with us?
For the present, yes. Oh, Mr. Cassius, don't leave the house just yet, will you? I may have more questions later.
Yes, of course, Inspector.
I wonder, Scotty... You suppose young Cassius neglected to mention his return accidentally or deliberately?
I don't know, sir. It'd be difficult to find that one out for certain.
You're right, it would. Sometimes I think a crystal ball would help. It'd make our work much simpler.
No, that wouldn't do, sir. Wouldn't do at all.
Really? Why not?
Fortune telling, sir. It's against the law, you know.
Ah, Mr. McCorbett, please come in. Sit down. Sure, this won't take long. This is Sergeant Scott.
Thank you, Inspector. How do you do, Sergeant?
How do you do, sir?
Well, perhaps you could clear up a small point that's been bothering me. Did John Cassius ever have any dealings with Miss Wiley's father?
Certainly not, Inspector. He was about to, in an indirect manner, but his death prevented it.
Please explain.
Henry Carson and Arthur Wiley, directors of Carson and Wiley, they were about to enter the home appliances field in competition with us. Cassius didn't like the idea and wanted to start an undercutting campaign to drive them out. I told him I didn't think it was a good idea, but Cassius had a mind of his own.
I don't give a darn what you think about it. That's the way it's going to be.
Oh, but John, surely there are other ways of taking care of it.
I made you managing director to do just that, take care of things. I'm out of the country 2 months, and you allow this piddling little company to move in on us.
Carson and Wiley is a very small company.
They are starting small, the same way I started 15 years ago. Today we're top of the pile, and that's just where we're staying. Nobody else gets so much as a nibble, understand, Miles? Tomorrow you start the undercutting campaign. We'll run them into the ground.
John, if you ask me...
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you.
Oh. Well, you're the boss, I suppose, but I still...
There's no supposing about it. I am the boss. I hire people, Miles, and if necessary, I fire them. Is that quite clear?
You'd fire me.
Think about it, Miles. It's a remarkably sobering thought. Think about it very carefully.
How extraordinary. Why should Cassius have gone to that amount of trouble?
He did not relish competition.
Well, well. Living and learning. Do you know of anybody, any specific person, who might have wanted to kill Cassius?
There are a good many people who would like to see him dead. He was an unbelievably hard businessman, Inspector. He made many enemies. Added to that, of course, his personal life was not all that it might have been.
In what way?
He drank to excess, gambled to an absurd degree, and he'd been associating with female companions for a number of years.
You surprise me.
Oh, he was very discreet about these liaisons, Inspector, but he had expensive tastes. There are two young ladies with whom he, consorted. I believe kept is the word.
You happen to know their names?
Yes, I do. I assumed that this would be of interest to you, so I took the trouble of writing down their names and addresses.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You are indeed a most methodical man. I don't think I need trouble you any further.
It was my pleasure, Inspector.
Inspector, I do not like that man.
I know exactly what you mean, Scotty. I think our Mr. McCorber can stand a little investigating of his own.
That'll be my pleasure, sir.
Yes. We certainly shall look into that side of things. John Cassius doesn't seem to have been winning any popularity contests, does he now?
That's a nice piece of understatement, sir.
It's just as well that we don't allow ourselves any preconceived ideas about anyone, isn't it?
In what way, sir?
Well, I would have had a totally erroneous picture of Cassius, for example. Newspaper reports, gifts to charity and whatnot. And yet none of these people was particularly enamored of the man. The Cassius touch. Rather like Midas. Everything he touched turned to gold, all right. But none of it seems to have given him much pleasure.
Oh, Inspector, it seems that you've talked to everyone. I just wondered whether you and Sergeant Scott might like some tea.
Oh, yes, thank you, Mrs. Cassius. That'd be very nice.
I'll have it served in here, then.
Thank you.
Excuse me, I shan't be... Oh! Oh, Mark! You startled me.
Sorry, darling, not intentional.
Oh, coming through doorways like that. Oh, Inspector, of course you've not met. This is my brother, Mark Reynolds, Inspector Vernon.
How do you do, Mr. Reynolds? You've just arrived.
Just arrived? From where?
Well, sure, I've no idea, but I'd have thought with those sunglasses that you... You don't live here, do you?
You sound surprised. Yes, I do.
Mrs. Cassius, this is most irregular. You might at least have mentioned your brother. Mr. Reynolds, were you in the house last night?
Yes, of course I was. Why, Inspector?
Why? You are aware, are you not, that a murder was committed here last night?
Dear John, yes. Oh, but surely, Inspector, you don't suspect me.
Mr. Reynolds, I am a remarkably suspicious person. I suspect everyone.
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I'm afraid you'll have to remove me from your little list.
Indeed. And might I ask why?
Because, my dear Inspector, for the past 5 years, I've been quite blind.
We shall be back with The Cassius Touch in just a minute. Now, the second act of The Cassius Touch.
How did it happen? Oh, that's quite a story, Inspector. Quite a story.
Well, perhaps you'll be good enough to tell it.
Ah, the gentle barbs of the law. Ask a question, but phrase it in such a way that it's unmistakably an order. Your obedient servant, sir. Point is, where's one start?
Well, you've been blind 5 years. Try starting 5 years ago.
Ah, very practical. Yes, well, up to that time, I was one of the many minions of John Cassius, a pilot. His personal pilot, to give my title its full prestige.
For how long?
3 or 4 years. From the time John bought his first plane. He used it for hopping about the country and over to the continent. Good corporate image, you know.
This was before Cassius and your sister were married.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, but that comes into the story, too. You'll just have to bear with me, I'm afraid.
I'm sorry, go on.
Well, we got on fairly well together. I suppose one must trust somebody when you put your life in his hands. Anyway, that's not terribly important. We were on our way back here from Paris. Nothing eventful. We'd done the same sort of thing dozens of times before. But this time, there was one minor snag. The weather started to close in on us. I told Cassius it'd be rather dicey to try to land, but with a man like that... I don't like it, John. Now we get the worst the visibility seems.
Oh, nonsense. Take her down, I say.
We won't have a clear view of the landing strip. I can barely make out the field itself.
What do you propose doing? Taking us back to Paris? Haven't time for delays. Put her down.
I don't like it.
I'm not asking you to like it. Just do it.
I hear you, Sahib. Here we go. It's no use. The cloud's getting worse. I can't see a blessed thing. I'm taking her up whether you like it or not.
Mark, watch out!
Those trees! Dow nearly made it, too, but as they say in the classics, a miss is as good as a crack-up.
The damage serious?
Oh, well, it depends on where you're sitting. The kite was a write-off, and yours truly was in a similar kind of state. Both legs and arms, several ribs and sundry odd bones. And my optic nerve, just for good measure. Ergo, one rather blind, rather useless ex-pilot.
And Cassius?
The gods look after their own, Inspector. He twisted a leg. It remained twisted, rather like the rest of him.
I see. But you came out of it all right?
Oh, yes, indeed. Only the best for me. And all at the expense of the man, or rather Cassius' developments. Sure, it must have been deductible. Private ward in a private hospital and the constant and costly ministrations of the physician royal to the household Cassius.
The physician royal?
Oh, yes. Yes, Sir Martin Harcourt himself.
And where does Mrs. Cassius come in?
Right now, via the hospital door. That's where they met, in my ward. Probably the first time in history that the part of Cupid has been played by a blind man. But mark you, it was nonetheless effective.
So it appears. For a blind man, your aim was surprisingly accurate.
Ah, oh, do I detect a hidden meaning lurking in there, Inspector?
No, just poor humor, my usual variety. But how long after this meeting, Mrs. Cassius, were you married?
Oh, a little less than a year. We moved out here, and when Mark was discharged from the hospital, he came to live here, too.
It was one of the more attractive fringe benefits for a man in my position. Fortunately, I had 2 major advantages at the time.
And they were?
A wealthy employer, a beautiful sister.
Oh, really, Mark?
And you've lived here ever since, have you?
All the time. There'd be no point in leaving, would there? I know the place backwards. Don't even need a stick to guide me around any longer. It's very convenient.
Yes, I should imagine it would be. You're familiar with both the house and gardens?
Completely. I could tell you what flowers are planted where, how many inches it is from the driveway to the swimming pool, or anywhere else for that matter. Regular one-man guided tour.
Well, that is interesting. Now, about last night, Mr. Reynolds. You say you were here at the time of the murder.
Guilty. In a manner of speaking, of course.
Whereabouts?
In bed, Inspector. Snug, warm, asleep, sorry.
For what?
Well, I can't be of any help to you.
What time did you retire?
Very early. 8-ish, I suppose.
How do you know what time it was?
Do you mean being blind? I listen to clocks, my dear chap. They have a convenient habit of striking on the hour, every hour.
So they have. One tends to forget these things when one isn't dependent on them. Did you hear the shot?
I'm afraid not. I sleep very heavily. Oh, and it's plural, by the way, shots, not shot.
Yes. You'd have heard all about it this morning, wouldn't you?
The entire grisly story, in detail, at breakfast.
But I hardly think we need keep you much longer. Mr. Reynolds, thank you for your help.
My help? Yes. Well, you're more than welcome, I'm sure. Come, Marcia. Good day, Inspector.
Well, well, well. You might say that that little lot is quite a kettle of fish, Scotty.
Yes, sir. Any of them smell a bit peculiar to you, sir?
Hard to say, but I do find myself sniffing. There's a pity about people like Cassius. They know too many people. Leaves the field of suspects wide open. Right, well, who have we got?
Well, almost any of the people who were here last night, sir. Then, of course, we got those business enemies that Richards talked about.
Yeah, that should be an interesting little list. Yes. Mr. McCorber's two names. Let's not forget these two, indolent ladies of pleasure.
Ladies of leisure, sir.
Yes, Sergeant.
You like me to handle that sort of things for you, sir?
We'll both talk to them, I think.
Very good, sir. Now, I'll get it. Hello? No, it's Sergeant Scott speaking. Yes, he's here. Just a minute. It's for you, sir.
Thank you. Inspector Vernon here.
Who?
Oh, yes. You have anything interesting? Perhaps you'd read it to me. Yeah. I see, thank you. No, just leave it on my desk, please.
Well, sir, something worthwhile?
Yes, that was the police laboratory. Pathology report came in. Death was caused by one of three bullets, any one of which could have been fatal. Bullets fired from a Corsair 38, American Police Special.
Well, that does help, doesn't it, sir?
Indeed it does. I don't think we need concern ourselves with business enemies, Scotty, or these extracurricular affairs. No, our murderer is someone we've already talked to. Someone who is in this house right now. Well, Scotty, I've had a look at the will. It helps us in that it supplies motives, all right, but at the same time complicates matters. Too many motives, perhaps.
So who gets what, sir?
Well, Mrs. Cassius and young David share most of it. The bulk of the estate is divided between them. McCorber comes into a large slice of the business itself. Quite a hefty slice, I might add. The Secretary Richards gets a nice fat £10,000, tax-free, and Mark Reynolds is taken care of for life.
Reynolds? In what way, sir?
£5,000 tax-free per annum for the duration of his natural life, unquote.
Like you said, sir, that certainly does provide all of them with motives.
Indeed it does. Too many suspects, too few clues. Hello, Inspector Vernon here. Oh, why, hello, Miss Wiley. What can I do for you? Oh? Well, why? But can't you give me some sort of an indication? I see. Oh, very well, then, if it's that important. Yes. Would half an hour suit you? Fine, I'll see you there, then. How very odd.
Jocelyn Wiley, sir?
Yes, sounded serious. She wants us to meet her at Cassius Developments in half an hour.
Well, what for, sir?
She wouldn't say. But she implied that it concerned our friend McCorber. Come along, Scotty. This might prove rather interesting.
My dear Inspector, do please come in. Good day to you, Miss Wiley. Sergeant Scott.
Good day, Mr. McCorber.
Well, now, Inspector, what's this all about? You were rather mysterious on the telephone.
Yeah, that probably was. Perhaps because I don't really know what this is all about myself.
Oh? I'm afraid I don't
Mr.
quite...
Mr. McCorber, do you recall when we met at the Cassius home, I said there was something familiar about you?
Why, yes, my name, but I don't quite
no,
see what...
No, not just your name. Although you tried very hard to make me believe that was all it was.
I really don't
understand. Oh, yes, you do, Mr. McCorber. But I'm sure you'd rather I hadn't brought up the subject. You see, I just remembered where it was that I'd seen you.
Is it really all that important, Miss Wiley?
Oh, yes, Inspector, you'll find it even more so. Do you remember, Mr. McCorber?
Well, offhand, one meets so many people.
Then I'll help you.
my father's office 2 months ago, on the day when the new company had its first board meeting. It all came back to me this morning, Inspector. You see, Mr. Micawber was in on that meeting.
Is this true, Mr. Micawber? Were you there?
Yes, well, I... Yes, it's true. I was there.
As a member of the board of an opposition company?
Yes, that is correct.
And this fact has naturally never been made public.
Naturally not. But I had faith in the company. When they offered me a directorship, I took it.
And when Cassius returned, he told you that he was going to ruin that company.
Well, yes, he did.
And very conveniently, that night, he was killed.
I don't care for your insinuations, Inspector. I hardly think that the fact that I happen to be on the board of a rival company is all that important.
All that important? Well, Mr. Micawber, it happens to be sufficiently important to place you as a leading suspect for the murder of John Cassius. Sorry to trouble you again, Mrs. Cassius.
Well, that's quite all right, Inspector. How can I help you?
Well, we had a word with Sir Martin Harcourt this morning, your family physician.
Oh, about anything in particular?
One or two things. Your brother.
Oh.
He seemed to recover remarkably rapidly from his accident.
Oh, yes, yes. Mark has always been stoic. Barring accidents, I don't think he's ever really been ill.
Sir Martin was puzzled about something. It seems he advised Reynolds to come in for regular checkups. Advice that your brother chose to ignore.
Well, Mark was quite vehement about it. He doesn't have a high regard for the medical profession at the best of times. He says as long as he isn't ill, what's the point of seeing a doctor?
In all this time, 5 years, he hasn't needed to see one?
No, not really. Oh, well, there have been the usual minor accidents. Falling over unexpected things, bumping into walls. Well, the occupational hazards of being blind, I suppose. But nothing serious enough to warrant calling in Sir Martin.
I see him. Now, about your husband. He'd just returned from a trip to America, which lasted 2 months.
Yes, that's right.
And prior to that?
Oh, John was quite a globetrotter. He'd been here a little over a month. You see, before that, he'd been on a business trip to the Far East.
How long had he been away on that occasion?
About 2 months.
I see. It must have been lonely for you.
Well, it's part of the price one pays when one marries a man like John Cassius.
Yes, of course. Now, let's just summarize, shall we? The past 5 months. He was away for 2 months, here for 1 month, and away for another 2 months. That right?
Why, yes, Inspector. I've just said so.
So you did. You have no children of your own, Mrs. Cassius?
No, none.
Had you and your husband planned on having any?
Well, the situation never arose. I suppose, had it happened, John would have been quite happy. Look, is all this really necessary, Inspector?
Yes, Mrs. Cassius, it is. Very necessary. Sergeant Scott?
Sir?
Would you do that now? Give us a few minutes.
Right, sir.
Now, Mrs. Cassius, suppose we be as honest with one another as we can. It'll save us a lot of time and probably some embarrassment.
Well, what is it you wish to know, then, Inspector?
I see. The hard way, then. Dr. Arthur Fenning.
What?
Dr. Fenning is a colleague of Sir Martin's. They lunched together last week. Fenning mentioned casually that you'd been in to see him. He was rather surprised that you hadn't been to see Sir Martin. Well, Mrs. Cassius?
Well, Inspector?
You saw Fenning on the 2nd of the month. He examined you and gave you certain tests.
Yes.
Tests which later confirmed your pregnancy.
You're very thorough, Inspector. Well, what of it?
On the 2nd of last month, you were 3 months pregnant.
Oh, you know all the answers. Why bother with the questions?
The father of that child was not your husband.
Oh, really?
Mrs. Cassius, at the time of your conception, your husband was on a business trip to the Far East.
Very well, Inspector. I am pregnant. And the father of my child is not my late husband. Is there anything else you'd like to drag out?
I am trying to get at the truth. Now, for heaven's sake, don't you realize the position in which this puts you?
What position?
Sir Martin had no inkling that John Cassius was not the father. He naturally would have mentioned the subject when he next saw him. But that opportunity never arose.
Your husband was murdered the night he came home.
Oh, and that gives me an ideal motive, doesn't it now?
You and the real father. Who is he?
That, Inspector, you shall never know. You see, there's no way of your finding out unless I tell you. And I do not intend to. Paul!
You wish to see me, Inspector?
Yes, Mr. Richards, I do. Please sit down. Now, you were personal secretary to John Cassius for 3 or 4 years, I believe you said.
Yes, that is correct.
You accompanied him on his business trips both in this country and abroad.
Yes.
Always?
Yes.
Including the last trip to the Far East?
Well, yes.
You hesitated. Why?
Well, nothing, really.
You were with him for the entire duration of the trip, the full 2 months?
Well, no. You see, during that time, there were 2 emergency meetings here at home. Mr. Cassius couldn't attend them, and he sent me as his representative.
Oh, Inspector Villa,
Mrs. Cassius, will you please not interrupt?
Now, look here.
How long did you come back for?
I? Oh, approximately a week.
But I... Did that week cover the end of 1 month and the beginning of the next?
Yes, I think so. Let me see. Yes, it was from the 27th to the 4th.
Yes, of course. It would have included the second of the month.
Aren't you rather jumping to conclusions?
I don't think so.
Proof, Inspector. You have no
proof. Mrs. Cassius, please, I... Mr. Richards, were you and Mrs. Cassius lovers?
What? How dare...
Were you the father of her child?
Her child? Marcia?
He didn't know. He didn't know.
Oh, easy now, my darling, easy.
Believe me, please. I'm deeply sorry that this had to come out in such a manner.
How did you know? How did you know?
Oh, it was no great detective work on my part. One of the less savory aspects of an investigation, the anonymous note. Did you know that Marcia Cassius and Paul Richards were lovers? That's all. It's typed, and of course there's no signature. Naturally, no fingerprints either. Here.
It is typeface. I'm almost sure. Well, it looks very much like the type on my machine upstairs.
Really? Is there another typewriter in the house?
I don't believe so.
Mrs. Cassius?
No. No, just the one.
Now, perhaps you'll be so good as to check that for me, Mr. Richards. If you would merely type out this sentence several times, we'll have an expert examine the specimens later. But I should imagine they will be from the same machine.
Marcia? Would you be all right?
Yes. Yes, Paul. I'll be fine.
Come down again when you've done that, will you?
Yes, of course, Inspector.
I'll be right back.
You, feeling better, Mrs. Cassius?
Yes. Remarkably so. Oh, congratulations, Inspector.
Please try not to feel like that, Mrs. Cassius. I assure you I regretted that scene as much as you did.
What a sick, sordid waver for our love to be dragged out.
I'm in no position to, well, sit in any kind of judgment on you, or indeed even make comment. Whatever there is between you is your own business. But I am afraid that it's now part of the investigation. I hope, I sincerely hope, for the sake of you both, that it means no more than that.
Oh, so gallant, Inspector. So very, very gallant. You know as well as I do what will happen when this gets out. It'll no longer be a love, something very, very beautiful. No, just dirty...
It need not be like that at all.
Ah, why not?
Well, strange as it may seem, although one is a policeman, one is still a human being, I shall naturally have to include this knowledge as part of my investigation. But if it turns out that it has no bearing on the murder of your husband, well, is there any reason why anyone else, apart from the 4 of us, should know anything about it?
You do that. You keep it to yourself.
Mrs. Cassius, I can see no reason why...
You are listening to The Cassius Touch.
Richards was seated at his desk in front of a typewriter. On the floor beside his right hand was a revolver. This one. On it, a very clear set of fingerprints. It happens to be the weapon that killed Mr. Cassius. There was a gunshot wound in the right temple. Powder burns indicated that the gun had been fired at point-blank range. In the typewriter, a note. This note. The pressure is too much to bear. I can stand it no longer. I kill John Cassius.
Well, what more do you want? Richards to return from the grave and confess? Isn't it rather obvious that he killed my father, couldn't stand the pressure, and then shot himself?
That, Mr. Cassius, is what the real murderer would like us to believe.
The real murderer?
Yes. You see, Paul Richards did not kill himself.
What?
But how can you possibly say that?
No, what really happened was this. The killer saw Richards go into his office and sit at the typewriter. A heaven-sent opportunity. He stood behind him, shot him in the temple, put the dead man's fingerprints on the gun, slipped the note into the typewriter and walked out. It was as simple as that.
It's an interesting theory, Inspector, but hardly plausible.
Why not?
It's a time factor. You say he arrived up there less than a minute later.
Of course. The killer couldn't possibly have done all you say he did in that amount of time.
Couldn't he? Sit down, Mr. Cassius. Here, just let me move this chair. Sit here, if you don't mind.
What's this supposed to
be? If you'll just be patient for a moment, I'll show you. Now, the killer naturally is prepared completely. In one hand, the typewritten note, done well in advance. He lays it face down on the desk while talking to Richards. Just a piece of paper, nothing to arouse suspicion, right?
Look, I don't see the point of all
this. You will in a moment.
Go ahead, Inspector. It's very intriguing.
Now, the killer has the gun in his pocket wrapped in a handkerchief. He stands behind Richards, so, takes out the gun and wraps it, so. Richards sees none of this. So far, everything has taken place before the gun was fired, right? Now, please time this, Mr. Cassius. I'm going to go through the motions of shooting you, putting your fingerprints on the gun, putting the sheet of paper in the typewriter, and walking out of the room, right?
All right, I'm ready.
Here we go, then. Now, bang, gun. Hand down, fingerprints on gun. Now, paper into typewriter. Brrk. So. Now, walk to the door. So. Right, how long did that take?
It was only 13 seconds.
Correct, Mr. Cassius. But even if it took 30 seconds, it would have been sufficient. The first person to arrive on the scene did so a minute after the shot. It was really quite ingenious.
At the risk of sounding repetitious, Inspector, it's an interesting theory. But how can you substantiate it?
Once we ruled out suicide, that was the only alternative.
Well, but how do you rule out suicide?
The killer was most clever. He typed out the note well in advance and then was most careful to wipe his fingerprints off the keyboard. There are still no fingerprints on those keys. Unless Richards employed divine guidance, he did not type out the so-called suicide note. So there we have it. Our murderer is still with us. Mr. Cassius, you told me that you were on reasonably good terms with your father.
Reasonably good, yes.
Why? You gave me the impression that you always had been on reasonably good terms.
Well, what about it? We had our fights, same as any other.
Meadowvale Sanatorium.
So, you had to dig up that rubbish as well.
Rubbish? I'd say it was rather pertinent, wouldn't
it? No, I would not. Drink, anyone?
You spent almost a year there undergoing treatment. At the time you were 19 years old, treatment of an emotional nature.
It was also completely voluntary.
Which does not make it any less pertinent. But perhaps you and I should discuss it in private.
Oh, no. No, Inspector, this is very much for public consumption. You see, dear people, Meadowvale was my not very hospitable home for nearly a year. Yes, I say the treatment was voluntary, but it was little more than that. I was given a choice, you see, by my dearly beloved father.
What kind of choice, David?
What kind of a choice indeed? I either had to commit myself for treatment at Meadowvale or face criminal charges.
Charges? The charges of what?
of trying to kill my father.
Oh, that really is priceless. I think this calls for a drink. My dear, we are a charming bunch, aren't we? Two murders and now a nutcase. To that, I offer you a toast. Cheers. Oh, forgive me, Inspector. I should have offered you a drink, or don't you, on duty?
I won't, thank you, Mr. Reynolds. It's late, and I have work to do. If you'll excuse me, Mrs. Cassius.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course, Inspector.
Well, good night, then. Oh, one other thing. I would advise all of you not to leave your bedroom doors unlocked.
You want to tell me the rest of it, David?
Oh, there isn't a lot more. My father became more and more impossible. It was the same story repeated day after day. It got to a stage where my mother and I were looking forward to the times when he didn't come home. When it gets like that, it's about as bad as it can get. My mother was never very strong. I saw what it was doing to her, eating at her all the time. And all the time she was trying to cover it up, hide it. One day she... Well, I suppose you could just can't take any more. You know the theme?
Yes, I know it.
Well, there was this scene, big, violent, and everything was too much. She broke and ran out of the room and up to her bedroom. We both heard the shot.
Oh, no.
I got there first, and everything inside me just flipped over. I don't know, I just picked up the gun and pointed it at him and pulled the trigger.
Was he badly hurt?
No. No, he wasn't hurt. The gun jammed. It jammed. Nothing happened, Joss. And then he hit me. Hit me from one side of the room to the other, screaming at me all the time. I didn't even know what he was saying. He was like an animal.
Oh.
Finally, he calmed down and gave me the alternative. Meadowvale or criminal charges of attempted murder. How about that?
Oh, sorry, David. It must have been terrible.
Hello, Mark.
I'm sorry. Am I intruding?
No. It's all right. Joss and I were just discussing things. I was just about to take her home. It's rather late.
Well, don't let me disturb you, old man. I only came to collect my dark glasses. I left them in here somewhere, I think.
Oh, yes, there they are on the desk. I'll get them for you, Mark. Oh. Mark? You caught me. I tripped and you caught me.
Just lucky, darling. I happened to be in the right place at the right time, that's all.
No, Mark, you can see.
Don't be absurd,
your
darling.
Glasses, Mark. Here. Cash. You got them. She's right. You're not blind. You can see.
Stay where you are, both of you. This gun, children, is loaded. How very convenient of the inspector to leave it behind. Now sit.
Go on, sit.
You
killed them.
Naturally. Very clever, both of you. My reflexes were a little too fast for me, but it won't help you, you know. Your cleverness has just precipitated things, that's all.
You were blind. I know you were.
How very astute you are. Yes, I was. But I'm not. I haven't been for nearly 9 months. It's been rather fun, you know. Now, both of you, please sit quietly and put your hands folded in your laps. Thank you.
Oh.
I'm glad you're being sensible, David. You wouldn't want to see dear Joss hurt, would you?
Why, Mark? Why did you do it?
Well, your father really was an obnoxious man, you know. He deserved to die. But my personal reason, of course, was simply greed. Oh, it was very pleasant while I was blind to enjoy the luxury of his home, to be waited on hand and foot. Few blind men have it as good as that. But then came my little accident. That fall down the stairs. Do you remember?
Hmm? Oh, what's that got to do with it?
Everything. I don't know how exactly it happened. Probably something to do with my optic nerve, but My sight started coming back to me. Oh, very slowly, but increasing every day.
Surely you were grateful to be able to see again.
Grateful, yes, but there were problems, you see. I'd grown accustomed to living this life of luxury, of completely satisfying idleness. And if dear Cassius found out I was no longer blind, he would no longer have felt obliged to keep me.
Why did you have to kill him?
Money, my dear, money. I knew he'd leave me something. 5,000 a year for life? That wasn't the biggest prize, oh no. There was always my charming sister, wasn't there? Ready and so willing to make life comfortable for her poor, disabled brother. And in the future, well, one never knows, does one?
You'd have killed her, too.
It may still be necessary.
You're mad. You know that? You're insane.
Your opinion, Miss Wiley, is neither valid nor important.
The point is, Marky, it's all come to nothing, hasn't it? Now we know that there isn't anything you can do.
Oh, David, how childish you are. I told you, I suppose, out of vanity. I wanted an audience. There's going to be a terribly short-lived audience.
Oh, you don't mean that.
My dear boy, you're perfect, don't you see? The main suspect, who's believed to be a little insane. In a few moments, the people in this house will hear two shots. When they come in, you too will be quite dead. The gun will be in your hand. What will they think? Well, simply that you knew your time was up, that you shot Joss and then yourself. It's ingenious, isn't it?
Look, you can't do that, Marco. You'll never get away with
it. Dear boy, there's nothing to stop me. Good night, children.
Thank you, Reynolds. I'll take the gun.
Stay where you are. Don't move, any of you.
There's nothing you can do, Reynolds. There are men outside. The whole place is surrounded.
You heard it all, didn't you? Everything.
Yes, everything.
A beautiful little trap. But how did you know?
It wasn't difficult. You overplayed your hand when you killed Richards. Mrs. Cassius was with me, so she couldn't have done it. McCawber and Miss Wiley weren't even in the house, so they couldn't have been responsible. That left you and young David here. And then you gave yourself away. When I illustrated the murder of Richards, I moved that armchair away from its usual place for David to sit in. Later, you got up and walked to the bar. The armchair was directly in your way, yet you didn't stumble into it. Careless, Reynolds. It's going to be enough to hang you.
Oh, no. You found your killer, Inspector, but you haven't caught him yet.
Let's go, Reynolds. Give me the gun.
Oh, no.
There's nothing you can do.
One thing, you. You're the cause of all this, and I'm taking you with me.
Reynolds, that gun is loaded with blanks.
What? You lie. You lie. You lie!
Come, Reynolds. On your feet. Let's go.
My eyes. I can't see.
Tonight's presentation of The Cassius Touch by Beverly Pierce, you heard John Bolter in the part of Mark Reynolds, with Valerie Miller as Marcia Cassius and Colin Fish as Inspector Vernon. John Cassius was played by Bruce Anderson, and others in the cast were Gordon Mulholland, Beryl Gordon, George Karenin, Kenneth Baker, and Adrian Egan. The Cassius Touch was produced for Playhouse 90 by the author Beverly Pierce. Timex watch. You know the exact time. This is Playhouse 90. Stages and studios, producers and playwrights.